Appreciate that. Brother Anthony asked that we share just a little bit of something of how that we allow the Lord, how that we allow the Lord to love us. For each of us, it's an individual thing. You know, we're all individual people. Our minds work its own way. So we think differently. Our hearts with emotions, we feel differently for different things. You know, some people at the passing of a loved one get really broken up. Some folks don't get so broken up. They just understand it and deal with it in their own way. Our feelings, our thoughts are there. They work in different ways for each and every one of us. So therefore, the way that we perceive God is different for each and every one of us. And Brother Anthony and I was talking a little bit after service today, and I was telling him one of the hardest things that I struggle with as a Christian is that through down through my life, I was taught that the love of God toward me was conditional, that I could only receive his love if I met a certain criteria myself. But when we go back into the scriptures and we find out that as Brother Anthony preached this morning, and as we've all read in the scripture many, many times, that he shared his love to us when we were at our worst. In other words, us being as bad as we could be didn't even affect his love toward us at all. It didn't change anything. His love toward us was just there. It was just there, and it couldn't be changed. He didn't want to change it. That's the way he designed things. So thinking this way and feeling this way, I struggle with being able sometimes to receive the love of God toward me, because at different times in my life, when I'm struggling with different things in different areas and I don't understand why things are happening or why things are going this way, then I begin to question myself, well, what is it that I am doing wrong? Because I have the mindset of that the love of God can only be received by me if I meet a certain criteria. If I'm at a certain place, if I'm doing certain things, if I'm acting a certain way, if I'm loving the right way, if I'm doing this the right way, then doing that the right way, then I can only receive the love of God for myself if I'm doing things right. So I question, what is it that I'm doing that's so wrong? What is it that I'm doing that I've messed up at? When really and truthfully, the love of God does not change. His love toward me does not change. His love toward me does not change. And Brother Anthony, your message this morning so helped me to be able to get into a place to where I could realize, really grasp it and take hold of it. That if his love for me doesn't change, then it's not a criteria that I have to meet. It's not something that I have to do to be worthy to receive something else from him. Now, we could go on and talk about a lot of different things. But our God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him. And he gave him for us in our place. In our stead. In our place. In our stead. He gave him for us. I'm so grateful tonight to know this God and to know that this God loves me in such a way. So I hope that helps somebody to just be able to realize that you do not have to meet a set criteria to be able to accept the love of God. You don't have to meet a criteria to be able to accept the love of God. Salvation is given freely. It's almost as though it's hanging out there waiting on us to get it. Does that make sense? And the Bible lets us know that God is a good giver of gifts. That if our fathers know how to give us good gifts, then how much more does he know how to give good gifts to us? So the good gifts of our Father, even those beyond salvation, are just hanging there waiting for us to receive them. Waiting for us to get them. So hope that helps somebody.
Brother Stephen, would you come?
It's good to be in the house of God again tonight. I really enjoyed that message this morning, Brother Anthony. I just got a scripture I'd like to read. I don't think we can really know how much God loves us without understanding the history of mankind. And knowing the oracles of God. You know, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. You know, he not only died for us, but he took everything that we had and threw it into a sea of forgetfulness. Not to bring it up, not to remember it anymore. And if you've ever been hurt by somebody, it's hard to forget. Even when you forgive, it's hard to forget. But what he's done is everything that we've ever done wrong, he's thrown it into a sea of forgetfulness. Not even to even bring it up again. And on a personal note, just, it's not the good times in life that I've found for God to show me that he loves me the most, but it's the hardest times in my life. It's the real trying times. Times when you don't want to get out of bed. Times when you just have to make yourself go on is when God shows up. And it can be somebody just coming by and speaking a little word, but he knows exactly what you need. And he's done that for me time and time and time again. And I can't thank him enough. Love you guys.
Brother John, would you come share with us?
I stress this little scripture together. This is one of my favorites. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Whether it should be called the sons of God. "Therefore the world knoweth not, because it knew him not. And behold, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth him himself, even as he is pure." I picked up two things from just these three little verses. And it says that, you know, you should be called the sons of God. So this amount of love that he has bestowed upon us, whether or not I choose him, he has still bestowed this love upon me. He has given me every opportunity to step into my place in him. He has given me every... he wants us all to be sons and daughters of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. But whether or not I choose to sit at his side, whether or not I choose to love him back, oh, what love, oh, what manner of love this Father has bestowed upon me. Whether or not I choose him, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can say to change his love toward me. Whether or not he has bestowed this love upon me. And another thing is about this. In verse 3, it says, "Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure." I've been married 6 years. And my wife loves me regardless. I can easily say that. But there has been certain things that in my life I have changed because of her love toward me. Some things that she doesn't like that I do, and it hasn't changed her love toward me or done anything, but because she loves me in such a way, it has made me want to change. So what's crazy about this love of God, he loves me so much, it makes me want to love like that. So my wife loves me so much. If only I could love like that, I think I'll change this for you. Matter of fact, and Jesus loves me so much. I think I'll get a little cleaner. That way I can get a little closer to you. I wish I could clean myself up because I just want to get a little closer.
That's all I got. Jason.
Hey, amen. That was good. That was good. You know, this morning's message, you know, the preaching of the gospel, I've said this before, is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. My favorite thing in a box of chocolates, those pecan clusters. This morning was a pecan cluster. I appreciate that word this morning. Amen. But I tell you, the love of God, the Bible says that God is love. Somebody say, God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. About 15 years ago, there was a little girl birthed into this world, right there, Chloe. When that girl was born, nobody had to tell me to love her. Not one person said, Jason, you got to love that child. When I seen her, I loved her automatically. Bailey, when Bailey was born, nobody had to tell me to love that child. When she was born and I seen her, I automatically love her because they came from me. They come from me. And I automatically loved those children because they were mine. I have many times, Brother Anthony, went to an altar and I've asked for forgiveness. And I've pled with God, Lord, please forgive me. I've walked roads, God, I should not have walked down. But I have not one time had to ask for his love. I've asked for forgiveness, but I've not one time had to ask for his love. Because he loves me regardless. And I would beg you tonight to remember the words that were preached this morning. You don't have to meet some sort of criteria for God to love you. But in God loving, you should want to love him back and live for him even more than you ever have in your life. And you should want to dedicate your life to him more than you've ever dedicated your life to him before in your life. You don't have to ask God for his love. God is love. That's who he is. We were with him from the very beginning. And I just thank God tonight for his love. Thank you for that message. It changed my life. Really changed my life. Thank you.
Brother Donnie, would you come?
Some of you guys were blessed. Y'all got the email. I didn't. But I do love the Lord, and I'm so thankful for his love for me. There's a scripture that just came to my mind that said it's the love of God that brings us to repentance. That's how great that love is. I remember when I got saved, vaguely, because it has been quite a long, long time ago. But I don't remember coming to the Lord because I was condemned. I don't even remember coming because I was convicted. I remember coming because I wanted some of what I tasted. The Bible said, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. We had a problem a year and a half ago, I guess it was. We had a cat, and it turned into 9 cats very quickly. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with those cats, kittens at the time. So I was able to start catching them, and I still had one that I couldn't get close enough to catch. And I took a can of cat food, and I got it close enough to the cat so that it could taste it. Once it tasted, that cat would go anywhere I wanted it to. I could get it to me. That's what it happened with me. He drew me with cords of love. The Bible said it wasn't because I felt so wicked, simply because I tasted, and I wanted what I tasted, more of what I tasted. That's love. That's his love that did not pressure me. Because I didn't come to him kicking and screaming. Came to him because I wanted to. Because I saw something I wanted. Isn't that awesome that that kind of love pulls on us? That kind of love speaks to us? If you're walking around in that, others have mentioned it tonight, that condemnation, or you're feeling like you're not worthy, or you're not good enough, and you haven't measured up. Maybe it's somebody else that's whispering words into your ear instead of him. Wow. Because he is the God who is, Jason, when that you just said it, God is love. That's what he is. So he's not coming at you trying to hurt you. I'll beat you into subjection. It's not what he's saying. I'll force you. I'll take your arms and twist them behind you, and I'll keep you in pain until I bring you under subjection. That's not what makes me want to love him and serve him. It's simply because he loved me first. Anybody here feel loved? That old song says, He loves me. He loves me. Sing with me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. One more time. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. And you said it good this morning. If we could ever get it, that He loves us. Somebody needs to just put a big period right behind that. He loves us. Period.
Brother David.
That was a good song. Good message this morning. Amen. When we were little kids in Sunday school class, we used to sing a song too. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. That's how I know He loves me. The Bible tells me so. We need to read the Bible more, I guess, some of us sometimes. It says, little ones to Him belong. They're weak, but He is strong. Sometimes we get weak. But His love is strong. We can always. His love is like a crutch for us. Sometimes this old inward man gets a little weak. Get that crutch. And He'll hold us up. The love of God will. Joyce and I have a little dog. And some of you know it. And he has got some kind of personality. But that dog, we love that little dog. Anybody who has a pet knows what I'm talking about. You just grow to love them, don't you? But that dog will growl at me like he's going to just tear my face off sometimes. And I don't know why. I mean, really, I know I aggravate Him sometimes. And sometimes, you know what? We aggravate the Lord. Uh-oh. Somebody, yeah, we do sometimes. Sometimes we kind of get out of the way. But that dog will growl at me, and he's vicious. I mean, I can't express to you how vicious that little bitty 8-pound dog is. He's just like he could kill you. And I think sometimes. But you know what? No matter how much that little dog growls at me and shows those teeth at me, I love that little dog. And we are like that little dog. Every one of us sitting in this house tonight. How many of us are perfect, perfect Christians? No hands. Good. I'm glad. Because none of us are perfect. Amen. And sometimes we do things that the Lord don't like. It's like us growling. And getting all just crazy. And the Lord's like, why are you doing that? Well, I still love you. He still loves us anyhow. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture in 1 Samuel 12:24. Oh, fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He has done for you. Consider how great things that he has done for you. Sometimes we need to get off to ourselves in our prayer closet. That's what it means to consider something, Brother Stevens, to think about him. Think about where he's brought you from, where you could have been. So a lot of times we take for granted that we can just get in our car and drive to church and hear a message and hear some good singing. We just take that for granted. But we need to consider, we need to think about, amen, what he, the price he paid for us, that he loved us enough, that he gave everything. His only begotten son, as we've heard so many times, he gave, amen, because he loved us. And we need to think about that. We need to consider what great things he's done for us even now. Amen. He done them in the beginning. He done them in the middle. He's doing them now. Great things he is doing for us just because he loves us. And we are not perfect, but he loves us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, I get to go in the middle a little bit here. The good thing about when you're speaking about God's love, all those guys that went ahead, you couldn't have used it all up yet. There's still some more to go around. Sometimes you may have heard me testify about the way I feel about God's power, how there's nothing that can match it. God's love also goes unmatched. You know, I joke about speaking in the middle of all the ministers. God's love, when we first find that love, it's fresh, it's new, it's like the honeymoon. Oh, we're all excited. And years down the road, just like in a marriage that works, you still have that love. When all the flowers and the fireworks are over, that love still remains. God's love still remains. He loves each and every one of us. And you know, as I think about the love of God, there's been a lot of times I have found myself very, very unlovable. And he still loved me. I have found myself, as Brother Paul spoke, where I shouldn't be. And I found that God still loved me. Wherever you are, God still loves you. He still loves you. There's nowhere you can go that you can escape the love of God. He loves you wherever you are, and he will always love you. And there's nothing greater than that love that you can feel with God. These ministers have spoke it well so far. You know, even in that dark time, somebody sends that one little word. Sometimes it's early in the morning or late at night when you're laying there praying. And you can feel that little touch of love of God in your little prayer closet. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He was here before us. He loved us before we was born. And there's nothing we can do to escape that love of God. Brother Jerry, would you come share with us?
You know, God's love is good. I'm a protege of it. You know, as I say, you know, the Word of God says, how do you know that you're my disciple? That you have love one for another. You know, do we have love for a brother? Or do we just sit here and say, hey, I love him? Do you really mean it? Love? I told Brother Anthony one time, he'll never preach a better message than on love. And but he nailed it this morning. Love casteth out all fear. You know, love is something that I figure myself, and I look back on my life as the prodigal son. My mother, I was out in the world doing what I shouldn't do. But when I got home, she still loved me just like she used to. No matter what you've done out there in life, no matter what you're doing now, Jesus still loves you. And all these ministers, you know, they've said some good words. But, you know, if the Word of God says, if we love one another, it'll show abroad in our heart. So what I'm saying is, You know, how can we love God whom we've not seen and love our brother whom we have seen? So I go back to when God saved me about 2-3 months after that. I begin to say, Lord, how am I going to reach all these people? He said, son, you won't be able to reach them all. I said, well, how am I going to reach them, Lord? And my wife and I, I've told you a story, I guess. You've all heard it. We're driving up the interstate, and I was in my car listening to some good preaching and gospel music. And I looked over, and I saw two hands, and I saw 2 feet in the clouds. I didn't see his face. And the Lord spoke to me. I said, Lord, how can I love these people? I said, how can I love these people that I can't reach? He said, I want you to love them the same way I loved you when you was in a mess. When you didn't love me, I wanted you to love them like I love you. You know, I tell you what, we serve a big God tonight, folks. A big God that loves you so much. Hallelujah. I can't even imagine in my mind why he loved me so much that he went to no bloody whipping post and a rugged cross to die for my sins. Now, that's hard to grasp, isn't it? But I wouldn't put my son or my daughter on a cross because I love them. But he went all the way to Calvary just because he loved us. He bore those stripes on his back for our healing. And you know, I'm thankful tonight that he didn't throw me away. I'm so glad tonight. And I listened to Sister Ellen's testimony after I got through that night, what she went through and all things. These people in here just went through more stuff. I told a boy the other day, he said, I can't get back to God. He said, I killed a man. I said, God still loves you, brother. I said, you're not reading your Bible. Go read your Bible. Paul killed 75 of them. But he loved Paul enough to knock him off his horse. And Paul wrote 6 Bibles, books in the Bible. Paul was a good man, but he wasn't anything until God knocked him off his horse. Then when he was in that prison singing, the Lord shook those chains off his stocks. And that's what he done to me. You know why? Because he loved me. All them old chains of sin and unfilthiness and stuff, he broke them off. I left them at the altar because he loved me. Don, that was a beautiful song. I go down the road singing that all the time. Oh, how he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Let that sink in a minute. You know how much you love your babies? That's how Christ loves you. When my first little girl, I'm like Jason, when I saw her, I wasn't living for God. When she was born into this world, something flipped over my spirit, just like, my, what am I going to do now? Then on through life, 21 years, my wife prayed for me. I didn't know that at the time, but she is sick in the Holy Ghost Police Department on me every time she prayed. So he captured me and put me in handcuffs. And I'm thankful tonight that I serve a God that loves me unconditionally. You know, we got kids out there today. You talk to them, they'll say, I didn't know he loved me that much. He loves you with everything, every fiber in your body. He loves you, church. Don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't love you, no matter what mess you're in. He loves you. And he's standing right there right now, Brother John, with his hands out. Said, all I'm doing is waiting on you. I'm just waiting on you. I love you. So I thank God tonight that we serve a God that loves us. Come on, brother.
Brother McCann.
Awesome message you preached this morning, Anthony, on love. Thank God for y'all's tender heart and your love you have for the Lord. When I think about God's love, I think about his discipline, you know. You know, if we love our children, we discipline them, and then they love us back. And, you know, a home is where we feel wanted and where we feel loved at. And if you don't feel wanted at your house or you feel loved at your house, you go search for it in the world, you know, drugs, alcohol, gangs, and things like that. And that's what people do because they don't feel love. And then God has to discipline us, you know, to get us saved. That's what happened to me. I didn't know God's love until he disciplined me. But the Bible said discipline don't seem pleasant at the time, but afterwards it brings the fruitful peace of righteousness. And then we get to become partakers of God's holiness. So we can't really live a holy life and a right life without, you know, God's discipline. So thank God for his discipline. Amen. But my greatest love story in the Bible is Hosea and Gomer. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but I preached on it one time in our church. And when you look at Gomer's life, she plays a harlot, she plays a prostitute, and she goes out and she prostitutes herself all over the northern kingdom of Israel. And God calls Hosea to go marry her and to have kids with her. And when I look at that story, I look at a picture of God's love, because she's goes all the way to the auction block of sin. She exhausts all her resources, and there's nothing left of this woman, her dignity, humanity, or anything. But God loves her so much that he disciplines her through her actions and her consequences until she gets to that place. And then he tells Hosea to go marry her. And not only that, after he comes, she runs off and leaves him time and time again. And she ends up on the auction block of sin. And then he tells her to go buy her back for 15 pieces of silver, some barley, and a homer. And he takes her back and marries her. And when I look at that story, I look at God's love. You know, we go out here, we sin, we waste our life. I wasted my life until I was down to a bag of bones. There wasn't nothing left of me through drugs and alcohol. I got down to the auction block. God purchased me back. That message you preach, he purchased us back by the blood of Jesus, brought her soul back and her spirit back when we was on auction block of sin. And to me, there's no greater love story than Hosea and Gomer and what God done for us. Love y'all. Thank y'all.
Brother Jeff, why don't you come share?
Wow, I just have to say it's been an honor here tonight just listening to all your guys' words and your wisdom and your experiences. That's just, you know, it's just really strengthening to me and seeing all the different perspectives. So this morning as he was preaching, like everybody said, that was a wonderful message. And I've got to learn it. I've got to really get a hold of that and take it to other people. It's changed me, but it's changed me, and it's going to continue to change me. That one message, I don't think it's just a one-time change. It's going to continue because it's just so deep in that the love of the Lord. And I was thinking this morning about the pursuing his love, and it brought me back to when I was in high school in my not-so-glory days. I dated a girl, and we dated for a long time, and I was just absolutely crazy about her, and she wasn't no good for me. Nope, you know, I could see that. I knew that, and everybody around me told me, you know, she's no good for you. You need to move on. You know, you got a lot more potential, and even her own family told me that, but I kept on. I just kept on, and I tried and tried and tried, and, you know, eventually, you know, I gave up on it, and, you know, I realized after the Lord started drawing on me and tugging on me, and you know, I turned to the side, you know, like Moses when he saw the fiery bush and it didn't burn up and it didn't consume, he turned to the side. You know, that moment when the Lord really tugged at my heart and I turned to the side to see what it was, and I started to pursue his love, and he didn't deny me. You know, he didn't deny me. And that's what really stands out to me right now, is how God's not a respecter of persons. That it doesn't matter that where you came from or what you've done or where you've been, it doesn't matter what color your skin is, what language you speak, where you're from, your background. He's not a respecter of persons. And so it's the most amazing thing to me that any man, that any woman in the whole entire world, in the whole universe, can at any one moment in time get down, no matter where you stand or sit or lie. It doesn't matter if you're on the hospital bed. It don't matter if you're the CEO of a company. It doesn't matter if you've got a dollar or a billion. That any man at any given time in the whole world can say, God, I need you. I need your love. And when you start the pursuit of God's love, he won't deny you. You'll find the love. There'll be nothing like it. Amen. And that's what just really draws me. Everybody, I believe, has been around somebody that they'll treat you different, and then they'll treat you one way. You feel good about it. You feel, oh, okay, we're friends. And then you see them treat somebody else another way, and you think, man, they treated that person like a piece of scum, you know, like they was garbage, you know. And it makes you question who they are to you, you know, and how they really feel about you. You know, you think, man, if you can treat them like that, you know, I believe you could probably treat me like that, you know. Do you really care about me, or are you just acting? And so it makes you question someone's integrity and someone's love for you. But I can stand here today and tell you that I've never questioned God's love. I've never questioned his love. No matter what I've done at any time, no matter what sin it was, no matter how far I went, no matter the place that I was in, when I turned to God and I turned to his love, I found it. Amen. And that's the good news. That is the good news, church. That's the gospel, that when any man at any time wants his love, you can turn to it and you'll find his love. Amen. And that's just, there's no end to his depth. So I just praise God for that.
Thank you, Brother Jim.
Praise the Lord. Brother Jeff, you just opened my eyes to something there. God's love, it's there for a good relationship where you give it back. But even if you ain't going to give it back, he's still going to love you. He is still going to love you. Praise the Lord. Brother Anthony.
Love you all so much. This has been so good. November 2016, Donald Trump became the president of the United States, and he put on a presidential coat. He stepped into an office. He has several children. He has a son, Donald Jr. He has a son, Eric. His presidential will come to an end. But at this time, he's wearing a presidential coat. His love for his children, I think outside of probably murder or treason, about anything Eric might do, Donald Jr. might do, whatever might happen, till 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, till around January the 29th, 2021, no matter what happened, because they're his children, outside of murder, treason, he can pardon them, no matter what they do, because of his love for his children. But come February 2021, if he don't get elected again, he will take off his coat. He will still be their father. He will love them, but he'll have no more power to pardon. Can I tell you about 2,000 years ago, a shepherd that put a coat on? Hallelujah. The Lamb of God that put a coat on. He's a shepherd. Right now, he's wearing his shepherd's coat, and he has the love to pardon you. He has such compassion to pardon you. He has love and compassion to forgive you, but there will come a day. He won't change. He'll be the same, but he'll remove his shepherd's coat. and he'll lay it down and he'll pick up a robe of a judge. He won't be there to pardon nobody. Friend, let him love you. Let him help you. Let him forgive you. Allow him to have mercy on you. Oh, love of God, how rich and rare. Oh, love of God. It reaches Father. It reaches beyond. Could we stand our feet? Father, Father, Father. Some of us are still not sure how much you love us. Some of us was raised in a household. Somebody was. They felt they had to buy their love or they had to earn their love. Somebody came to a situation where they felt if they didn't do certain things, they weren't worthy to be loved. It was they were demanded. We brought that into the spiritual realm, and we feel like we got to earn your love and buy your love and purchase your love, or we're not good enough. But oh, God, starting even this day, pray for somebody around you. Lord, starting even this day, tear walls down between us and your love and allow us to see. Would you gently reach over and just touch somebody? Would you ask, would you pray diligently for that person for a few moments? Lord, cause them to see how much you love them. Somehow beyond all their pain and their brokenness. For Father, right now, you have the ability, you have the power to pardon. But one day you won't be the lamb. One day you won't be the sacrifice. One day you won't be the good shepherd. One day you're going to stand as the judge. And you, instead of saying you're forgiven, you're going to have to tell somebody, depart from me. You had a lifetime to get right. You had a lifetime to repent. And you would never receive my love. Oh, love of God, love of God. Show us your love. Show us your love. 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 Cast us down fear. Love defeats fear. Love. Perfect love. When I understand how much he loves us and how much he cares. Father, Sheila and I thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for allowing my family and I to walk shoulder to shoulder with such an amazing rank of people that love you to the level that have their love for you, their understanding, their knowledge of you. I am so blessed and so honored. I thank you for the love I've not only received from you today, from this congregation. God, this has been one of the best ones. So I say thank you. Lord, would you bless the food? Would you bless the ones that's prepared it? The ones that's brought? And Lord, would you let our fellowship just all have a wonderful evening? In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Please go on down the building. Stay a little while with us.